Check the mic and make sure it sound right, boys.
Welcome to Red Storm Chasers. I'm Vincent, here with Craig and Nick. On this episode, we'll look back at the Georgetown win and look ahead to the Big East tournament before discussing our NCAA tournament hopes. Guys, great time for college basketball. Great to be back with you guys.
It is championship week. It's a great week. A lot of fun. The madness before the madness.
It really is great that college basketball created this. Not only is the entire month taken over by the NCAA tournament, but they've created a kind of 2-week period beforehand where you can just continuously watch basketball, and it means a lot, and it's exciting. You know, you get buzzer beaters, and it's a tournament format, so it is spectacular championship week. I really, truly do love it. And
it's
a
generous dream.
100% too. You gamble all day.
Well, it's also every team has a chance, right?
Right.
There's a tournament, right? So every team is still alive until this week.
True. 100%. And everyone can get an automatic bid by winning their tournament. I can see somebody making an argument that championship week is actually better than like the second weekend of the NCAA tournament where there's only when there's not as many games. I don't agree with it necessarily, but I could see where somebody would make that argument. Because it is back to back. It is so many games. I mean, it started on last Friday.
Yeah, especially in the
really run through.
Especially in all the major conferences, you're getting like top five or ten matchups, like in the Big East, in the Big 12, and
yeah, but I actually find those not as exciting.
But I mean,
Charleston versus Purdue, baby.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, that's also awesome too. That's the fun of it all. But you also get like legitimately good quality games.
I mean, that's true.
You do. Mixed in with the Cinderellas of it all.
Yeah, but I think to Vincent's point, you could say that. Right? Obviously, not the first week, but for maybe the second week.
No,
but I think in order to have that feeling, you need to be really basketball junkie and need to be watching the mid-major conferences, because if you're just watching the overall 100%. Conferences, big conferences, it's not close, right?
No,
but if you're watching the small conferences and it's like literally basketball all day and all night, then
if you're like us and you enjoy small conferences as much, I think it is. So that leads me to my question. Good flow here. Which mid-major conference tournament do you enjoy watching the most? Obviously, the Big East tournament is all of our favorite conference tournament to watch, period. On a lower scale, like you talked about, as real basketball junkies, which mid-major conference tournament is your favorite to watch? Craig, we'll start with you.
I'm going to go with Arch Madness, the Missouri Valley Conference tournament. It's early in the week. It wrapped up already on Sunday. There's just good, like, historic teams there. Drake, Indiana State, Bradley, UNI, Northern Iowa.
Used to be Wichita State.
Used to be Wichita State, wasn't it? Creighton used to be in there.
Yeah.
It is a historically, like, good, solid mid-major league. A lot of times their teams are ranked, you know, 12 seeds, 11 seeds. They're teams that can win a game in the tournament. So you're getting, like, good level basketball. It's early in the week when there isn't a ton of other games to watch. So it's like it kind of has its own thing. And plus, I don't know, Arch Madness is a great branding thing. I appreciate that.
It is a cool name for sure.
So that's what I got.
Nick, what is your favorite mid-major tournament to watch?
Yeah, no, Craig, I agree with you. That's a great tournament to watch. I've won a lot. I've won and lost a lot of money on a lot of those teams this season. So it's very important tournament to watch for me. But my favorite's got to be the West Coast Conference. Largely also because of the format, they make sure that their one seed is going to be, or one or two seed is going to be in there.
Very smart, very weird layout bracket, but very
super weird,
smartly done.
I don't know if you've never seen their bracket. The one and two seed gets by all the way to the semifinals, and they have four rounds before it, or three games before it.
Yeah, no, it's a genius layout in order to ensure that your best team gets to go. Which is something that the smaller conferences struggle with, right? A lot of times you saw it in the MVC, speaking of them. Indiana State lost to Drake.
Yeah.
Right? Now, Drake was on the bubble, but they now get the automatic bid. Well, that puts now Indiana State on the bubble.
Yeah.
Right.
And a lot of people have them as a last four team in now. Now, they shouldn't be. They won 27, 28 games. It's ridiculous. But they do. Now, all of a sudden, they're in jeopardy of not making it, despite the fact that they were a one seed. So
true.
It's an interesting format, but I do think it works out well for them.
It's why, really, you know, during the NCAA tournament, I tend to root for the upsets. But in the conference, small conference tournaments, I tend to root for the favorites because I want them to get into the tournament so I can root for them as underdogs.
Yeah, it makes sense, right? You feel for those guys. Teams have really great seasons. They'll win 20, you know, high 20s games or maybe even 30 games some year. But they're the one seed in, you know, the SWAC. You know, their only chance is to win. And then all of a sudden, some team who's like 17 and 15 upsets them and then gets knocked in the first round of the tournament. You're like, ah, that stinks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's a team that could have done well if they had made it. But it's unfortunate. Anyway, for me, I think it's the Mountain West. Obviously, I'm a Boise State football fan, so the Mountain West always has a special place in my heart. Plus, the games go until 2 o'clock in the morning. So shout out them for allowing us to have basketball that late on championship week. Plus this year, it's going to be a great tournament. League is stacked this year. Yeah. And there's a lot at stake, right? Colorado State's still on the bubble. New Mexico's still on the bubble. Those are teams that are going to be fighting for spots, and it's really good basketball. Besides that, I mean, Utah State, Nevada, Boise State, San Diego State, all great teams. So that'll be exciting. I do also want to give an honorable mention to the A-10 though. I've worked it. It's great. Those teams are, you know, Dayton this year, not even the one seed. Richmond is the one seed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a good conference too.
Yeah.
Lost and won a lot of money in that conference too.
Sounds like a lot of up and down year for you in the gambling world, Nick.
It always is.
That's the way it goes. Sometimes the house gets you. Sometimes you get the house. All right, let's get focused on St. John's basketball. So we had one last game in the regular season, and we continued our winning streak, extended it to 5 games with our win on Saturday, 86-78 victory over Georgetown. That brings us to 19 wins on the season, 11-9 in conference. But this was a little bit tighter than for most of the game than I think we would have liked. I mean, at the end of the day, we did get the job done and we got the win. Completed an Ed Cooley sweep, which was exciting.
Always love that.
Love that for us. Love that we got to beat him in the Garden. You know, it was good. But I do think it was a little bit tighter than I think most of us would have liked for a majority of the game. We did pull right at the end. But
yeah, I mean, I think Georgetown played a really good game. I mean, they've been playing better as of late, and I really think that if you just look at their numbers, they shot really, really well. And sometimes you just gotta, you know, they want to play on the big stage, and they showed out. I mean, they played well. I mean, we had 14 turnovers, which was a lot, and that's a big problem. Let them hang around a little bit, but frankly, part of it just they just did a good job. They just hit a lot of shots.
They did. They shot 50% from three, and they made 12 of them. That's a lot.
It's a lot.
I mean, they shot 45% from the field, but 12 of 24 from three, that'll keep you in any game. And that's certainly what kept them alive here. We, on the other hand, only shot 38% from three. We made 5, right? So there's a huge disparity.
That's bad for us usually, too.
Right.
38% is usually good for us.
Yeah, I mean, we thought we had a pretty good three-day shooting, and then you look across the, you know, the box score, and you're like, wow, geez. We did shoot 60% from the field, though, right? Which is why we were able to hold them off. 71% from the free throw line, and we made 23 of the 32 we got offered. So we did a good job from the line, which is something we're going to need to do here in this next week. In terms of turnovers, though, Craig, you're 100% right. That was something I was going to hit on. That's something we really have to reduce, particularly in this what may be a, you know, winning you're in, losing you're out kind of game against Seton Hall that we've got coming up. We did win the turnover battle because we turned them over 15 times, but 14 is an unacceptable number.
Yeah, especially because we've been so low recently. I mean, really, in the last did we have 14 turnovers in the last 3 games combined? I don't think so.
I mean, we've been playing so hot.
Maybe we had 15 over the last 3 games.
Maybe against Creighton, but
6-3 or something like that.
Yeah, so it's been any of the 5. Total, I would say it came close, with the exception of this one, the 5 wins, I'm saying.
Yeah. No, yeah, we were historically low in turnovers-wise. So that definitely kept Georgetown in the game, but they just played well. We didn't, you know, I think, first of all, I just want to shout out to the St. John's fans because the crowd was really good, 16,000. Over 16,000 people in the building. It was sold out, sold up to the top. There were a few seats, and it was loud. There were a few times in the game at critical moments where the crowd kind of on its own to be honest. Just kind of just got up, got loud, started getting, you know, chanting and stuff like that. I mean, I think we're the only team in America when the crowds chants, we tend to give up baskets and not stop baskets. But
literally,
that's just bad luck. I mean, whatever. But fail. But the crowd was, I thought it was a very heavy pro St. John's crowd, and it was a very loud and energetic crowd. So shout out the St. John's fans for Saturday.
You do love to see it. It was a win we had to have, and we got it done. Dennis Jenkins led the way, 23 points for him. RJ Lewis, 16 points. Good day for him. Ledlam, the only other guy in double digits, he had 14. And then you had Toriano with 9 and Dingle with 9 as well. Nice to see Conway get the start on senior night. You know, he didn't play all that much. But, you know, that's kind of the story of the game, with all due respect. There's, you know, what it did for us in terms of the Big East tournament and what it did for us in terms of the NCAA tournament was continue to keep our hopes alive. And keep us in the five speed. But before we get talking about the Big East tournament, let's do our spotlight player of the week, the last spotlight player of the week of the regular season. I know it's one game, but we'll call it the spotlight player of the week. I kind of think it's a layup, so I'm going to go first, which I know you guys like when I get to take the layups. I'm going to say it was Dennis Jenkins. He had 23 points, and he's just been playing so well as of late. He was 7 of 11 from the field, 7 assists. I just he's been playing so well lately. It's been great to watch him turn into the player he's currently being, because he has really developed into his own and is, in my opinion, the best player on the team. Craig, who are you voting for?
I'm going to go with RJ Lewis. He was 6 of 8 from the field, 16 points. He had 3 steals. And at a time when it was really critical for us, he really came through and sealed the game for us, really. He keyed a big, important run in the second half. So I'm going to go with RJ Lewis.
So apparently not the layup I thought it was going to be. So we got a tie to be split here, Nicholas. Let's hope you don't do it like you picked your baseball team. Nick, who do you got?
Wow. Shots fired. For no reason at all whatsoever.
No, I'm just saying, if you don't break the tie, we're going to end up with what are we going to do? We're going to flip a coin or something. You can't flip a three-headed coin. They don't exist.
I think we're all going to be happy and all rooting for Marcus Stroman. With that being said, I have to go with Dennis Jenkins. He was the best player of the game. As Vincent said, he's been the best player on our team on this five-game run since even prior to this five-game run. He's our team. He's our energy. He's our electricity. He's the leader right now, and he's the floor general too. So he's been doing a great job at it.
Very and nice.
I do think we'll go as far as he takes us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As Dennis Jenkins goes, so goes St. John's. 8 of 9 from the free throw line, too. Little underrated stat we didn't talk about. All right. Dennis Jenkins gets it again. Spotlight player of the week. Craig, whenever you get that total, you just let us know who's leading.
I'm working on it.
You know, you count, you know, maybe ask your daughter. She may be able to count up to that number, because I know you can't keep track. She's won, by the way, but you know, that's cool.
Jenkins definitely had the most spotlight players of the week.
Blind shot in the dark.
I'm not blind shot in the dark. I know this.
All right.
What's the number? How many times?
How much?
He's been spotlight player of the week 5 times.
You don't even know. You're just again guesses. Off the top of your
I don't
head.
Want guesses. You come with hard numbers, you don't come at all, Craig.
Nick,
all right?
Nick asked me for what the number was.
I did put you on the spot, and you know what? You failed again. You failed last week.
How do you know I'm not right?
Because
you don't know. I don't have to know, but you don't know you're right, and that's the difference. All right, let's move on. This is the main event. Let's be real here. The Big East tournament starts on Wednesday. You won't see us. No Johnny's on Wednesday. Bless up. Glad to see we're going to be on Thursday.
Can't be Wednesday Warriors.
That's it. On Wednesday,
I'm going to miss that Wednesday game.
You know what? We talked about it last week, and I think we may end up missing the Wednesday game, but we can get into that in a minute. On Wednesday, there is a triple header, though, starting with the 8-9 matchup at 4 p.m. It's going to be Xavier and Butler. Besides our game, I actually think of the current set games, this is the best game. Seton Hall and St. John's obviously is, but obviously the UConn, Creighton, and Marquette don't have matchups yet. So I'm saying, excluding them, the preset ones. Obviously, Georgetown and Providence has its own, you know, pull, but it's not going to be a very good game necessarily. Same thing with DePaul and Villanova. But I do think this is a good game. And more importantly, it is important for us. Now, neither of these teams really has a chance of making the NCAA tournament unless they win it all. Obviously, they'll get the automatic bid then. But they do get a chance to beat UConn and therefore a chance to play us, theoretically, in the semifinals. So we'll start going around. Nick, you're going to go first on this one. Who do you want to win the Xavier Butler game?
I think I'm going to go with Butler. Okay. I like Posh. That's like Hinkle Fieldhouse. I know you don't think I like Butler that much, but I like him a little bit.
There's a time where you didn't like them.
There's a time and a place, but that's not now anymore. I'm grown. I like them. I like them more than Xavier. I like Posh. I want him to get as far as he can. Hey, who knows? Maybe he could upset UConn, and then we can play Posh again. I wouldn't want that.
No, see, so that's why I hope Xavier wins. And I hope Xavier wins for two reasons. First of all, Xavier is a very up and down team, so you never know what you're going to get. They very well could win. Yeah. Xavier is also not too far away from the bubble. Towards the end of the season, they were sort of on the bubble. They're not going to make the tournament.
Butler wasn't that far off either. Butler was for a little bit.
Neither of them are that far off. It's just that there's not enough wins left for them, in my opinion, to get there. But the bigger thing is this. I do think Xavier can beat UConn. I don't think Butler can beat UConn. And for me, it's all about let's win the Big East tournament right now. So in order to do that, I think we've got a better shot against Xavier than we do against UConn. And I don't think Butler beats UConn. So that's why I want Xavier to win, because I think they got a shot at upsetting UConn, and then, you know, we'll take them in the semifinals. Craig, what do you think? Who do you want?
You know, I was leaning Butler. But you do make valid points about Xavier. I think I'd still like Butler because, similar to Nick, I think, you know, I like Posh. He gave it all a lot for us. So I would like seeing him play well, not against us, but against
everyone
else.
Yeah.
And I think Butler's a little closer to the fringe of the bubble than Xavier. I don't care about that, because I want them knocking us out. But yeah. I think I'm going to go Butler. I don't think either of them can beat UConn. They really matter. Yeah,
that's fair. I think Xavier is is further away from the bubble, which is why I think it's like they don't have there's not like, if Butler wins, right? If Butler wins and then they beat UConn, there will be talks about them having started to move towards the edge of the bubble, right? Whereas I think Xavier is too far gone. Sorry, Nick, off, but that was kind of my...
What I was going to say was that, actually, funny enough, Butler is 66 in the net, and Xavier is 65 in the net.
They're very close.
Yeah, and they're very similar.
They're very similar. I think on a blind test, Butler probably gets the edge, because they're 4-11 in Qual 1, and Xavier's 2-12.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why at the end of the day, that's where I look. Well, later, whoever wins, that's definitely who we're going to be rooting for at noon on Thursday, to beat UConn, because we hate them, and also because I would rather not face UConn. The other Wednesday games are, again, as I said, not very competitive, I do love that we got a third Ed Cooley versus Providence matchup, and you know Providence really wants to just dunk on them. Three wins in 1 year, also knock them out of the Big East tournament. Which would be pretty sweet. That game's at 6:30. That's the second game of the day.
That could be a little sneaky. Georgetown played well against us.
They haven't
Georgetown's
played well.
Been playing better as of, and Providence is desperate. Providence loses this game, they are off the bubble.
Correct.
It will end the NCAA tournament hopes they lose Georgetown.
Oh yeah,
100%.
If they win, they're still right there. They have a shot.
So it's funny. The win would keep their hopes alive, right?
Correct.
They probably also need to win on Thursday against Creighton. Right. In order to actually make it. But so for them, it's kind of it's not a lose-lose, but it's a win without much reward, right?
A lot of pressure for them.
A lot of pressure, but to no real avail, because you get the win and then everyone's going to go, yeah, cool, but you beat Georgetown. So you're not really moving up the list. You got to beat Creighton in order to do that.
Yep. I agree with that. But that could be an intriguing game.
I do think it could be a good game. I think the Xavier Butler game will be good, and I think this game will be good. It's got a great storyline. Watching people boo Ed Cooley will be fun as well. Yeah. I mean, I'm always a fan of that.
True.
The third game of the night that also has some NCAA tournament implications is Villanova and DePaul. Again, I don't think it will – Villanova is typically seen as one of the first teams out right now. They're not going to get much benefit here, but what it really does, again, is it keeps them alive in their tournament hopes. In that way, they can play a game against Marquette, possibly get a win, and then get in the NCAA tournament. That game probably shouldn't be much competitiveness.
It shouldn't, because DePaul's not not playing at a Big East level this year.
They're just a disaster. Poor, poor Blue Demons. All right, but now let's talk about the most important game of the Big East tournament, of course, St. John's and Seton Hall. We talked last week about wanting the five or the six. Nick, you were very, very strong on wanting the five. So I'm going to let you go first because you got the matchup you wanted. How do we make this game different from our two previous matchups that we lost to them this year?
I think this time around, my two keys to this game would be one, don't turn the ball over as much. The first two times we played them, we had 15 and 12 turnovers, which is, we had 14. That was too many. Haven't had that in so long. 15, that's obviously higher, and that's not good. and we also need to not foul them as much, because in the first game we played them, they had 32 free throws, and in the second game they had 37 free throws.
There's a lot of free throws.
Way too many opportunities for free points. So if we can limit the fouls and we can limit the turnovers, we only lost to them by six the first time. Mm-hmm. And that was at UBS. And then they beat us pretty well at The Rock, as they always do.
Yeah, The Rock game was essentially a no-show game.
Yeah.
To be honest, that one you almost just kind of like, you take it with a grain of salt. We just had such a bad night. They beat the shit out of us, but it's just like, they're unlikely to go on a 36-0 run again. It's just not going to happen, right? Like, if it does,
I think the 6-point loss at UBS is much more clearer showing of our team. And to be honest, listen, it's not great we lost that game, but that game may have turned our season around, right? That after that game was the Rick Pitino press conference. That was the start of this 5-game win streak. From there, so
right. They probably have a little bit more extra fire because it was that game when they called them.
I certainly think that's possible.
And we lost by six. We want to show you.
I think that in terms of biggest tournament, that is going to be. I think that's the best game of Thursday. I mean, I guess not knowing who the other teams are going to be, just because a couple things.
It's the most important for sure.
By the way,
it's the most important in terms of bubble.
For sure,
right?
For sure, because Seton Hall is typically seen as a team with the first four or last four byes, right?
Right.
Which is technically last eight teams in the tournament, right. And we're in kind of we're seen as the last team in a bunch of places, but certainly the last four in. So you're talking about a real impactful bubble game, 100%.
Yeah, I think also to your point, you know, there's a history of, you know, after it was the game for the press conference. I think there's a tough, like, you know, it's a tough team. They're a gritty team. That's who they are. It's why they were down. Look, that UBS game, they could have folded. We were up. We let them back in at the half. But we were up 18 at one point in the first half. And they just kept chipping away. And now, look, we had a historically bad second half. But part of that is probably because we didn't shoot well and settled for bad shots. But part of that's also because Seton Hall plays really tough, hard-nosed defense. It is what it is. So we're going to have to out-tough them on Thursday. And we're going to see the toughness of this team that we've been seeing over the last five games. We're going to need to see it on Thursday.
I agree. And I think, Nick, to your point, I do think maybe they come in with a little extra fire because the Seton Hall team is the team that kind of led to that press conference. But not for nothing, hell of a day on Thursday. You're looking at a Butler or Xavier and UConn matchup, which is no slouch for UConn, by the way. This is a good game. You're looking at Seton Hall, St. John's. Then most likely you're looking at Creighton and Providence and Marquette and Villanova. I mean, those, first of all, with the exception of Xavier and Butler, every team on Thursday is a team that is either already in the tournament or is playing for a spot in the tournament.
Right.
I mean, that's spectacular. Yeah. That's a spectacular day of games. But going back to our game, Craig, I think
best conference tournament in the country.
Oh, not even close. Not even close. Craig, I think, and I want to get your opinion on this. I think if we're going to win this game, we're going to need to do it on the backs of guys like RJ Lewis and Glenn Taylor. We're going to need not only our Jordan Dingle to be our third guy, we're going to need fourth and fifth guys to grit it out with those guys. Who do you think is going to be a guy who could step up and make a difference in terms of grittiness in this game?
in terms of grittiness or in terms of who I think will be is the most important piece.
You can give me both, but grittiness, yes, since you were talking, yes, about it. This time I'll allow it. You were talking about grittiness particularly, so let's start with that, and then you can give us the other guy.
So I think grittiness, I think grittiness on this team, I think Glenn Taylor. I think he's that gritty, defensive-minded, defense-first kind of guy. And I think his tenacity on defense is going to be very important for this game. He, though, is, for me, is not the key to this game. I think this guy is not only the key to this game, I think he is the key to all of our future games. And it's Jordan Dingle. Because, look, Jenkins is gonna do what he's going to do. He's great. You know he's going to do. He's a known commodity. Joel Soriano is going to do. He's going to get near double-digit points, right? He hasn't been playing as well as he, but he's still a solid offensive option. You're going to have Dingle is that, and Ledlam, you know, is around 10 points too. If Dingle plays well and is making shots, it opens up the floor for everybody else. It also, it's just another score opportunity. We need that third and fourth scorer. Dingle's that guy. If Dingle's not scoring, like if the Georgetown game for a while, he didn't score that great. And Lewis came in and took it over, thankfully, but we need that fourth scorer, and Dingle has been that guy during four of the five games on this run. So I think Dingle is the most important person.
I think that's a great point. I do think we're going to need a game from Jordan Dingle. If it's not necessarily the Seton Hall game, but in the tournament, if we're going to succeed. All right, I'll throw this out to you guys, both of you. Okay, so we'll take a look. If you could lock in one of the following stats for the Seton Hall game, which one would you pick? Okay. Us shooting 35% from three, us holding them to 40% from the field, or Joel scoring 15 points. You can only pick one, but if you could lock one in right now and say this is guaranteed, which one of those three do you think you would lock in? Okay.
That's fair. 35% of if we only take 10 shots is one thing. 35% if we take like 20 shots is different. But I think if you look at our average, I think if we shoot 35% from three, it's just good enough. I would probably lock in 40%, I would say. There's no doubt. 35 is like, yeah, it's good.
It wasn't meant to be an easy question, Craig.
Yeah, no, I think 35, because I'll let Nick go and then I'll argue him.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. Says. Nick, which one would you lock in?
I don't know. I think I got to go with Soriano getting 15 points, because the last two times we played Seton Hall, they were right at 39.7 field goal percentage and 37. So they were right there, right at 40. So that would be good to keep him right there. But at the same time, I'm with Craig on the 3-point percentage. It's good. It's the line. It's what we need. We could do better. Then we're almost guaranteed. But I think if Soriano's getting 15 points, that hopefully means that he's getting a lot of rebounds. Hopefully he's facilitating. Hopefully we're getting more play out of him. And he's just another option. He's not the focal point. Because if he's the focal point and getting 15, I don't know if that's gonna bode well as well for us.
So it's funny. I'm going to disagree with both of you. We're gonna have a full split here. I think holding them to 40 is key. And I think it goes back to something you were talking about, Craig, is this is a team in Seton Hall that never gives up and plays hard and it grits it out, right? If we're able to hold them under 40, I think the way this team is playing right now, we put ourselves in a place where we're gonna win the game. We again, you're right, Nick. We held them under 40 both times, and we lost both games. So clearly, it's not a guaranteed victory.
Right.
But however, the way this team is playing right now, where we're at on a 5-game win streak, having gone through all of this, I think this is a different team. So I think this time you hold them under 40. This time you get the win.
So I disagree. I understand what you're saying in terms of the defense. I do. And you need to hold them there. You have to hold them there, because if you play any better, then it's going to be really hard to beat them. I just don't – I think looking back, the fact that we lost both of those games means, like, I don't know that it really helps.
Them shooting over it certainly wouldn't have
helped. Oh, true. But, like, here's – I'll give you why I went to three-point percentage. Because if you look back, when we played them at UBS, which is the game – I'm going to forget about the other game. But the UBS game, we shot 24%. If we shot 35%, that would be a much bigger increase that we had that game, different game.
I mean, yeah, I think that's fair. But very much like you said, the number of threes matter. Sure. If we shoot 35% and we only shoot 10 threes, that's not going to get us enough to win. So
true.
I think that number varies too much, the number of made threes. So I think that's why you can't just lock in the 3-point percentage. I just think it's too low. And for Soriano, sure, if Soriano getting 15 is nice, Nick, and you're right, it may open the floor. But what it may also do is it may be us trying to run the offense through Joel too much. And yeah. If we do that, it steals shots from Danis. It steals shots from Jordan Dingle. It steals shots from RJ Lewis. Find ourselves, well, maybe not, and that's why you picked it. But the reason I didn't pick it is because I think our offense should run through Danis Jenkins, and Joel Soriano is a great player, and he does well down low. He does his job, but his job is to be a secondary offensive guy. So when he gets 15, it doesn't necessarily mean we succeed.
Kind of bring up one point that I did a little quick math on. If we had
faster math than you figuring out the foul players a week, by the way, but continue.
If we had shot 35% against Seton Hall and UBS Arena, we would have won by 3 points.
Fair enough.
With the amount of 3-pointers we took, based on what we took against Seton Hall.
Not true of the game before that, though. We shot 33% from three in that game, and we lost by 20.
True. Fair point. We'll see. Interesting question. Good question.
That's why we're here at Red Storm Chasers. That's what we do. All right. One final question in the Big East tournament discussion. If we do come away with the win, as we mentioned before, we'll likely face UConn. Now, we talked a little bit about Butler and Xavier, about who we thought we could beat. What do you guys think? How do we take down the Huskies?
That's a hard question.
well, I mean, they're a one seed. They're possibly the number one team in the country. It's hard. I mean, listen, it's hard. And they certainly showed us in the second matchup that, we didn't really belong on the court with them that day.
Man, we hung in there.
We hung in. I shouldn't say that. But
look, I think can we beat UConn?
Yes. I think we can beat any team in the country.
I also think...
drink red Kool-Aid all the time.
I think we can hang in there with UConn. I think, a little Big East magic might be there. We need Jenkins to play out of his mind. We could use like a 30-point 10 assist game from Jenkins. We could use Soriano to play the best game of his season. I think, to my point, I think if Dingle and Lewis play really well, and we can beat them. They're just so good offensively that we have to play our A-plus game if we're going to beat UConn.
We
have to play our A-plus game.
I do think it's a bit of a trick question in that, yeah. I mean, the answer is, what do we have to do? Kind of play out of our minds. And remember, for them, it's only going to be – fortunately for us, it's going to be the same number game, right? It's going to be their second game of the tournament. It's going to be our second game, which is good. We're not going to be more worn down than them. But I think it's a heavy lift, though, Nick. What do you think?
I mean, it's certainly a heavy lift. I agree with what you guys have been saying, that like, it's going to be an uphill battle. It's going to be we're going to have to play our A game for sure. I think our biggest thing is probably just free throws. I mean, in both games we missed 7 free throws in the first time we played them, and we lost by 4. We missed 7 free throws in the second game, and we lost by 13. But I mean, still
would have helped. Certainly would have helped.
It's free throws. It's been little things, I mean,
I'm with you. I think the way we take down the Huskies is we root hard for Xavier or Butler on Thursday.
I would say that. And I think the obvious one is 3-pointers, because in both games, we shot 22% against them in the first game, and we shot 28% against them. So in the second game,
we can lock in at 35.
There you go. No, we don't get those options against UConn. Only against Seton Hall. All right.
It would also be the first Friday we've had in 20 some odd year.
Yeah, listen, again, there is Big East magic, right? It can happen. Georgetown came from a Wednesday and made it, won the championship. So you never know. And I'm not saying it's out of the question. I do think we can play with these guys. It's just it's going to be a heavy lift. So we'll root for the other teams.
Just getting to Friday would be a hell of a thing for us.
I do think it would be exciting. I mean, listen, Rick Pitino's first year, he got to the Friday of the Big East tournament and took this team. We get to Friday, by the way. We're in the NCAA tournament.
I would agree.
But we'll talk about that in a minute. But I think it would certainly – there was a lot of hype preseason, right? And as the season went on, it wore down. Now, whether that's just or unjust, you know, a lot of people took a turn after the press conference, said, oh, this team actually isn't that good. And we saw ourselves kind of fall back to old St. John's ways. Rick Pitino getting to the semifinals of the Big East tournament, putting this team in the tournament in his first year, I think would be in a place where come next season, people would look back and go, you know what? Rick Pitino's first year was actually really good. And it pushes this program in the direction we think, know, and want it to go with Rick Pitino. All right. One final Big East tournament question for you guys. If we get past UConn, who are you hoping to see in the championship? Obviously, it's the other side of the bracket, so it's basically everybody except the teams we've talked about. Who would you like to see in the championship? Nick, you can go first.
You know who I'm picking. Our sister school, baby, DePaul.
All right. I'm sorry. DePaul. You know, that was flawed questioning on my part. All right. That's my bad. All right.
If DePaul is in the championship game, I don't know if we want to play them because they're going to be red out.
Yeah. All right. Of the realistic schools to make the championship, who do you want to see?
I would want to probably see Marquette. I think we match up best against them. I mean, we beat Creighton, so I mean, I wouldn't mind Creighton either, but.
That's fair.
I know we lost both games to Marquette, but I mean, hell, we lost both games to Seton Hall, so we can.
True. And hard to beat a team three times.
And UConn, so we could do it all three. We can hit up all three of them.
That would be a turn of events, I got to be honest. Craig, who do you want to see?
I'm going to say Villanova.
That's a good pick.
For two reasons. First of all, I think we match up spectacularly against them. So that would be nice. It would be fun to watch the Wildcat fans leave the building early if we were to beat them. Secondarily, I think it would also be good for the Big East in the sense that we would then lock in six teams in the tournament because if Nova's even there, they're going to get in.
True.
And we'd be there. We'd be in. So there's that. In terms of if you want to look at more favorites, I would say Creighton. I actually think we match up better with Creighton than we do with Marquette. I mean, we probably should have beat them at Creighton.
Right.
But we got screwed on a foul call and then we did beat them at home. So I would say Creighton as my favorite, my sleeper one would be Nova. If we get that matchup, I love that matchup for us.
Those are good picks. I agree with you on Creighton over Marquette. Sorry, Nick. I'm with you. We match up better against them. We should have beaten them twice. And I think, overall, that is another game we could win, right? It's a home game. If we were ever make it to the championship, Madison Square Garden would be a sea of red in a game like that against Creighton. It would be a crazy crowd, and I think we could. Now, I think that's true against Marquette as well. So I think
that's true against anybody, frankly.
I agree, but my point is simply I think it's very much a repeat of the game we've already won against Creighton.
Right.
So I think it could very much be there. But I actually think Providence, for similar reasons to you, Nick, Craig, in that I think Providence going would give us seven teams in the tournament because the hope would be Villanova would win to play them in the semifinals. And then that's good for the conference. Plus, I think it's an easiest matchup for us. So I think we could come away with a championship, which would be pretty nice. But that's my sleeper pick. I of the two and three I'm talking about, I think Creighton over Marquette. All right. Looking at the biggest picture, the NCAA tournament seems to be within reach, right? We're sitting as one of the last four teams in the tournament in most people's brackets, which would put us on the 11 seed line, which I actually think is a positive thing. Do we have to beat Seton Hall to make the tournament?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
All right. Why yes? Why no?
Maybe I shouldn't say yes as definitively, but I think – yes. No, actually, I'm going to say yes. Yes. We need to beat Seton Hall. It would lock us. If we beat Seton Hall, we're in. in my opinion. I think if we don't beat Seton Hall, there's a path for us to get in, but I think a lot's got to go right.
So similarly, I'm of the opinion that we're in, but there are a lot of opportunities for us to fall out over the next week. And even though at the end of the day, I feel confident that a 19-win St. John's Rick Pitino team gets in, particularly if New Mexico is there, by the way. Don't doubt for a second that the committee won't go, well, we could play Richard Pitino versus Rick Pitino on the first four and get some killer ratings. I think if we don't want to be worried and sweating on Selection Sunday, we need to win. Nick, you say no.
Yeah, so I agree with your points that if we beat Seton Hall, we're firmly in. We're not sweating it. It's more of just seeing what seeding we are and where we're ending up, and hopefully avoiding, hopefully getting a bye, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. But nice. I think we've shaken ourselves into just enough of a spot that like we will get in still. I don't think it'll be pretty. I think we might be the last team in, but I think we'll get in. I think, especially if Villanova could somehow move up a little bit more and we can get another quad one win,
that would be
very important. Because they're at 52 right now, right?
They're at 32.
I'm sorry, they're at 32.
Yes, so we do need them to win. Utah.
Yeah, Utah falling out too. We've now lost. We've lost two quad one wins in the past week without even doing anything, unfortunately. We're down to three quad one wins, which doesn't sound great. 3-9 doesn't sound great. So getting back up, and Utah maybe getting back up if they could do some damage in the Pac-12 tournament would be nice for us. Good resume builders without much work from us, obviously, since we wouldn't be involved in the Villanova run or the Utah run, obviously.
Just another reason I'd like to see Villanova in the championship.
That
would lock us in for another quad one win for sure.
That would boost us.
Actually, it would put us in probably two more quad one opportunities.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Play Villanova. Not that it would matter at that point, because if we were to win it, we'd be in anyway.
Sure, but both. You say we lose the Seton Hall. Having two quad one wins all of a sudden pop up on your resume Saturday for the Sunday, that's a good look. You know what I mean? That's all of a sudden we're like, oh, well, 5-9 is a good look, particularly if Utah, 6-9. Well, all right.
What do you think would happen to the metrics if DePaul actually won it?
You know, it's funny. Actually, the metrics wouldn't be impacted that much. Because you know why? They're so low. Net is so low that even if they were to win, like, we wouldn't get any boost. No team would get any boost from it. And we would just all have to stand befuddled as the Blue Demons celebrated on Madison Square Garden's court. With probably the wrong color confetti, because they didn't even order it this year. We don't need the red and blue. We don't even need it this year.
Well, luckily everybody's blue, so they could just probably use the blue.
No, but they need the royal blue and the red together, so they don't have that mix, right? They got the red for St. John's or the navy blue for every other team, black for Providence and white, but they didn't order the red and blue this year. Just leave it at home. We don't need it. So that would be, it would be a sight, let me tell you. Actually, if we're going to lose, I might root for DePaul to win it all. Of course, those are mutually exclusive and won't line up properly, because DePaul plays the day before and will most likely be out of the tournament by the time we play. But it would be fun. Let me tell you, it would be fun to watch DePaul make a little run.
If DePaul won, I think they would be like a 15 seed.
They would be the lowest. They would be the lowest power conference automatic qualifier ever, for sure.
If you look at their net, they're in the three. They're around FDU. FDU was a 16 seed last year.
I mean, look at George, when Georgetown won, when they had no shot at winning it. What were they?
They were a 12.
They were a 12, right? And they're already that was like the lowest power conference automatic qualifier.
The lowest ever was Georgia. Won the SEC tournament.
Oh, I forgot about them.
They won like four wins or something like that, and they were I believe they were a 13 seed, and that was the lowest.
Even still,
this DePaul team would be lower than that.
They would absolutely be lower. 100%.
They could be like a 15 seed. That's how bad they are.
That would be
I don't bad. Think they'd make them a 16 seed, because it wouldn't be fair to the one seed.
No, yeah, you're right. They wouldn't make them a 16, but they would make them a 15, and that would be funny.
It would be fair, because the poll is horrendously bad.
Funny to watch. Anyway, it won't happen, but hey, you never know. That's the beauty of championship week. Magic is in the air. All right, that'll do it for Craig and Nick. I'm Vincent. Go Johnnies. Root hard. Get out there. Be at the Big East tournament. Watch from home. Do what you can to make sure St. John's makes the tournament. And we'll hopefully be back with you talking about the NCAA tournament next week. So keep chasing.